when I look at fingerboarding, you know, there's just a lot of like deck makers, like probably 200 deck makers.
Everyone and their mother, yeah.
Yeah, almost everybody and their grandmother is literally making a deck. Welcome to United States Fingerboard Podcast. I'm your host, Levine Cunningham, and I'm excited to be chatting with Matt Ripple of Pipsqueak Wheels. Matt is also known as Pipsqueak underscore FB underscore wheels on Instagram. Matt, pleasure. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm super stoked.
So you, I think, might be my first wheel company on the podcast.
Did you have Blistered?
Ooh, I forgot about
Can't
Blistered.
Forget Bailey.
Shout out to Bailey. My bad.
Bailey's killing it. Can't forget him.
I know. We've been, I think we're 20-something episodes in. It's starting to become a blur. Yeah, my bad, Billy. All right, so you're definitely number two. Number two then on the podcast. I was thinking back. I was like, man, like, I don't think I've had one. But with that being said, like, I mean, there really isn't a lot of wheel companies, like, out there. Like, just in the fingerboarding industry, I think, as a whole. Like, when I look at fingerboarding, you know, there's just a lot of, like, deck makers. Like, probably 200 deck makers.
Everyone and their mother, yeah.
Yeah, almost everybody and their grandmother is literally making a deck. And so when I look at like these niche like areas, like obstacles, I feel like is a niche. Like not too many people are making obstacles, wheels, like what you're basically gotten into. I mean, like I can probably count almost all the wheel makers on both my hands and my toes. And so
yeah. And especially in the States, there's only, you know, they're a real small amount.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. So like tell us like, I mean, you got a fingerboarding only background, you've been skateboarding, like kind of tell us a little culture, a little history in your.
Cool. So, I mean, like most of us, I started with skateboarding, like when I was like probably 6 or 7, and I just took right to it, obsessed. And then when Tech Decks came out, probably like, I don't know, it was probably like 9 or 10. What was that, like 09, 2000, right? No, 99 or 2000.
Yeah, it was 98, I think, was exact.
Yeah, so I was born in 90. So, yeah, when they came out, I also was super obsessed with Tech Decks. I remember my whole parents, like, the whole loft was just all, like, fingerboard stuff, just the whole way across. I just had everything. And just was super obsessed with that and skating and I don't know, probably early teens I stopped playing Tech Decks and always still continued skating. But you know, only maybe like 2 years ago, I found out about real fingerboarding. Like I had no idea the industry existed. And I think I saw Mike Schneider on Anthony Padilla. Schneider and Nash and someone else was on there, and that's how I learned about fingerboarding.
I find it interesting that Mike Snyder, shout out to Mike Snyder, by the way.
Oh yeah,
he is kind of like on the forefront of everybody's early adoption to more of a, I wouldn't say like pro level, but just more of a, this isn't really a toy, but this is more of a serious, like, you know, skill hobby. Like, it's just a skill set. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I guess you could say pro, but I mean, like, most of us, we think, you know, Tech Decks as a toy, and then we don't realize that, like, there's a level beyond that level. And I feel like Mike has, like, just been that guy that's introduced us all to that.
Yeah, for sure. In some way or another, because then, you know, learning about the community and the industry and then just backtracking and trying to catch up on everything that was. It seems like he was just always paving the way.
Definitely. So you've been fingerboarding off and on basically since the, I don't know, kind of fill in the blank for me, since like 2009?
No, I probably stopped fingerboarding like 03, like Tech Decks.
Oh, gotcha.
You know? And that wasn't until my wife and I bought a house and we do thrifting. And like my wife like resells vintage furniture and antiques full time and stuff and toys and clothes. She found a tech deck, and like that night I was popping kickflips, and I was like, oh, I'm definitely gonna invest in a board. And probably that night I got on Etsy or whatever, I got something from Fingerspace.
Okay.
Yeah. And as soon as that came, I just kept upgrading it. Then I got into groups, started talking to Ant with Sewer Alien,
Okay.
and my boy Josh with Sonic FB. Yeah, and then that just down that rabbit hole. Just getting new, just upgrading, getting new decks, trucks, wheels.
And so when he says fingerboarding groups, I'm assuming you're meaning like the Facebook groups.
Yep. Roll
So,
20 Fingerboard Club. It was a while until I got an unlimited. There was a little gate kept there. I couldn't get in.
fingerboarding unlimited group is, I mean, I'm a moderator on there, so I really can't talk too much smack about it, but it is a very safe haven place for fingerboarders. And so, with that, it comes with a little bit of, can't let everybody in, can't let certain actions slide, stuff like that. So it is very structured for sure.
Yeah,
But
no,
overall,
definitely.
like probably one of the strongest like fingerboarding groups out there. I mean, I've got a few fingerboarding groups that I operate and manage as well, but I think the Unlimited group by far is like the most active and probably has like the best group of overall just core members as a whole. So definitely pros and cons to it, but that's definitely a group that if you're serious about fingerboarding and you're like, you like to just play by the rules, like that's definitely the group for you.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a good group. It was just I didn't get accepted in for a little bit, but I could see it's pretty family friendly, and maybe looking at me right away, I don't think I'm family friendly. But my stepdaughter's stalking me in the background, so
Now it's a good group. Like it's the people that run it. I mean, we're all practically family, and so like it's a
sure.
good group of people for sure.
No, I love seeing what they do. They do so many giveaways and so much to the community. It's a good group.
And if you are in one of those groups, I mean, like the rabbit hole and the research that you
Oh.
get, the knowledge that flows through that group is absolutely insane. And
Yeah.
so if you're looking to become a deck maker or make wheels or host events or whatever it is, fingerboarding wise, like you can pretty much find that intel in that group. It's like someone's going to be willing to be like, yeah, you need to do this, 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 this. And people are like, oh, snaps, okay. And so they venture off and just kind of start their own thing. And so like there's a lot of new and creative people just being born in that group, I feel like at least once a week.
No, I absolutely. It's great to see newer companies starting and just making connections. Like that's how I met a lot. That's how I found the people in Michigan. I had no idea what was going on. Or like maybe last year, when I found out that you guys are coming to, you're in Dexter, which is close to where we moved from. That was probably like 15 minutes from where our apartment was. Then we moved out like about 2 hours away. And I wanted to go to that, and I still wish that I did. I would have made these connections a lot sooner.
So you're out of Michigan, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So like around what areas? I know like Michigan's pretty huge. I know the scene up there is also massive.
Yeah. I'm right in between Lansing and Grand Rapids.
Okay. See, that's not too shabby.
No.
So when we're talking like the Michigan scene, I mean, we're talking like event holders like Fatty Fest and like Grind Time, and Grind Time was just like, I think by the time this episode comes out, it already would have passed. But like Alan Dean, like Chicken Fingers and Grind Time, and then we've got Pipsqueak Wheels entering into the Michigan scene.
Yeah, coming in swinging.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, definitely over the last like I want to say probably 2 years, like Michigan as a whole like is definitely being put up on the map as far as like meetups, events, just things that are just like thriving. I know like Exodus Ride Shop and a few other skate shops, they're all like putting fingerboarding stuff in their shops along with like skate gear, stuff like that. And so Michigan's starting to slowly become a pure fingerboarder. Like, people are starting to gravitate more towards like the Michigan scene for sure.
Yeah. No, they're doing their thing over there. Like Fatty's, Exodus and Allen with grinding chicken fingers. They're killing out there. They're always got some big stuff going on. I can't wait for grind time this Saturday. It's like 5 days away.
Yeah, I am 85% there. I just gotta clear out a couple little minor things, and I'm hoping to be up there. So it'll be one of
Cool.
my, I think the first event this year that I, no, second event this year that I'll be able to go to that I'm not actually hosting. So it'd be nice to actually go as a fingerboarder instead of as an event host. So
Yeah, definitely.
love
Hope you get
to,
there.
yeah, it's rare that I'm able to shred for long periods of time without actually having to run around with my head cut off. So I'm gonna
Yeah, for
enjoy it.
sure.
So you've got an event yourself coming up.
Yeah, so we got it'll be our second event out here, called Finger Frenzy. We're having it at Battlegrounds, skate park, skate shop in Battle Creek, Michigan. That'll be September 16th.
Now, is this an event that's purely yours, or are you doing a collaboration, or?
No, it's definitely not just me. There's a whole bunch of us. Yeah, when all sometime like the beginning of the year, maybe like even March or April, I started connecting with people on this side of the state, and we were like, yo, we should put something on out here. And like there's a few of us, like Jonathan and Wordy with Serial City Fingerboards. There's a bunch of us out here on this side of the state. Yeah, we just started spitballing, and Jonathan locked down Battlegrounds, which they carry Redemption, that like he stocks in there, so they already have like a taste of fingerboarding. Redemption built like I think he made it. There's like a little park there, and he's got stuff on the shelves, so they're already interested in the fingerboard scene. So it was cool that they allowed us to host it. We had it in June, and it went really well. We had like a good turnout. A lot of dope sponsors sent stuff for raffles. Yeah, it was so much fun, man. And then they asked us to come back, so we put together another one.
That's exciting. I love it when they ask you to come back. It just makes you feel proud and honored that you basically put together something that people are just like, they want more of.
Yeah. It was so much fun. Events are crazy. If someone listening to this has been to an event, you gotta find an event in your area, or look, like search in the groups for other people like in your area and put something together. Even if it's just like a handful of you. Like it's just there's nothing like it. It's so much fun.
Meetups are, I call meetups basically like smaller versions of events, but I mean, meetups in general to me are kind of where it's at. You know, you just start a meetup and, get four or five of the homies to come out. And the next,
Yeah.
you do it again and it's 10 homies and then it's 20 homies and then it's 40
Yeah.
homies. And you're like, okay, look at this. Like we got a thing going.
Yeah, it's so much fun because that's not weird anymore. You're not just playing with toys in your basement, you know.
Facts. Facts. All right. So one more time, let everybody who's listening or watching, where is this event? What's the date and the hours?
Oh, damn. I think the hours are 2 to 6. But it's September 16th at Battlegrounds Skate Park in Battle Creek, Michigan.
So you got it. You got it.
Yeah. I don't remember if it's 1 or 2, but
I
if
did
you
put you on the
check,
spot.
yeah, no, it's all good. If you check my Facebook page, I'm sure I got it posted up in there.
Gotcha. What is your Facebook page for those
Oh,
that
I
are
apologize, my Instagram page.
Instagram page?
Yeah, I don't
Gotcha.
got a Pipsqueak fake with Facebook yet.
Okay. Well, it's good to verify that so that people are like, man, where is this page?
Yeah.
That's
Well, you can check Battlegrounds page out there on Facebook.
Okay, I'm gonna put together some links in the description too for you guys for that as well, so that is not too complicated.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so what got you into making wheels?
So my first wheels were China, like CNCs, like plastic wheels. I just didn't like the feel of that. I wanted softer ones. I tried some Teak Apex. They were a little softer. Oaks blistered, and nothing was as soft as I wanted them. So I just started doing heavy research. So I'm just gonna make the wheels that I want, and figured out like nice urethane blend. It's been a lot of R&D in the making. FB Canada helped me out. Shout out to Dustin. He helped design the mold that I have. We got some more wheels coming out. We'll be doing bowls and minis soon. But yeah, so FB Canada designed these. So now I got some dope molds. I don't know if you saw the wheels that I have, but yeah, they're super soft. But now I have more formulas because not everyone likes super soft wheels. There's those savages out there that like that hard urethane. Which so yeah, I got like three different formulas that I'm messing with.
Gotcha. So what are the new, sorry, so if someone wants to buy some pipsqueak wheels, like what are the different variants, I guess you would say, as far as like soft or hardness and
So my formulas are F1, F2, F3. F1's softer, F2 is 65D, F3 is 75D.
gotcha. And so for those who may not be hardness etiquette, if so, someone was looking for a softer wheel, what material wheel would that be on your side?
They're all urethane, but so my hardest one is the same durometer as like a golf ball feel. So then said the F3. So F2 is I guess it's closer to a skateboard wheel, because it's like hard but still kind of grippy. And then the F1 is just a kind of feel like the Tech Deck like performance wheels. It's like nice and soft and have a lot of grip. They feel real smooth.
Gotcha. Okay. So kind of drive it home. Are you mixing with you got colors, you got swirls, like
I do. I got, yeah, all different colors and swirls. I've been messing lately with like some metallics in there, metallic swirls, trying to get like galaxy look and feel. I got some CBD flower wheels. So for Zeghead, he's got my Canna wheels. Those are a Zeghead shop exclusive. You can only get through him. I've been putting mouse bones in some wheels, just experimenting a lot.
okay. And then the last driver home, you've got different styles, I'm assuming, as well. Like
As far as shapes,
streets, yeah, streets, bowls, anything like that.
no, currently I just have one. They're the conicals. They're based off of the Spitfire conicals.
Okay.
They're 8 millimeter by 5 millimeter. Those are the only shapes I have currently, but Dustin and I are working on some new ones. We're gonna have some bowls and minis coming out soon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, they're a good time.
You kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, I follow you and the groups and stuff, and so like I feel that you've been doing a lot of like just marketing and promoting and stuff. But for me, I feel like you just kind of came out of left field. It was like there was an industry without you, and all of a sudden, like now you're in it and people know about you. And so
That's cool. That's cool to hear that.
Kudos to whatever it is that you're doing. I like it.
Thanks. I haven't even launched my shop yet. I'm just kind of right now they're in stock on Squirrelnut site and Zeghead site.
Shout out to Zegheads. He's doing some interesting things down there in Chattanooga. We actually did a podcast with him as well. I want to say it's like episode two, one of the
He is,
first.
yeah.
And so he's actually hosting an event as well. And so he's doing some cool things. And so I'm glad that you guys have connected and doing some collabs and stuff.
Yeah, we work pretty closely together, him and Squirrel Nut. So the three of us, we got a lot of things that we've been working on together. It's fun just like collaborating with your friends and just spitballing ridiculous ideas that you make happen.
Yeah, but the cool thing about those is like some of them may just be ridiculous, and then you kind of start thinking about it and being like, if I do this and I do that, like this might be doable. And I feel like some of the best ideas are just random spitball, off the wall, kind of far-fetched ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Just mess around and find out, see where it goes.
And then you realize, like, maybe I can't do this, but while I was working on that, I found this other thing that is I wasn't even thinking about, and now I've got it. And so, like, some of these things that I see people like just producing, they're like, yeah, I just stumbled upon it. I was actually working on something else, and then like this just came to me. And I was just like, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Man, so we've got a lot of you just got a lot of momentum. I am stoked to have you on the podcast. I'm stoked to see this journey come to fruition for sure. I've been kind of tracking you for at least, I want to say like 6 or 7 months at least on my side. So,
That's cool.
and I was just like, man, I think I met you. I reached out to you, I think, in the group. Because so I was like, you run Pipsqueak? He was like, yeah. I was like, dude, we've got to tell people your story. So you got any like future projects, anything up your sleeves?
So, I've been messing with deck making too. I'm not good at it, but so basic Tyler with basic over in Canada. I know that you know him, but he and I put together some dimensions and he made a couple molds for me. Because like I said, I work with like Squirrel Nut as well. He's a better woodworker than I am by a lot. So I've just been pressing boards and sending them to him. And I just started tinkering around myself. And I mean, it's so much fun making boards. So I want to put together some boards and some real cheap completes. So.
I know you've been talking about pressing decks and starting to, you've been basically kind of moving into the pressing decks and doing the whole deck making experience. And so I feel like you're moving into that arena as well. And so are we going to be looking at Pipsqueak wheels being Pipsqueak fingerboards? Question mark.
I guess so. I mean, wheels is my main focus, but I'm having fun messing with these boards. Like I'm not a good artist, so coming up with graphics isn't easy for me, but my wife, she found this old medical book from the 20s that was like pretty beat up. So she was ripping out the illustrations that she wanted, and I took the scraps. Well, they're not scraps, they're still super beautiful, but there's like old medicinal plants, like bone fracture, just really beautiful illustration. So I've just been cutting those out and putting those on board. So like they're one of a kind decks, you know.
Definitely. So does that mean you're getting more into the completes?
Yeah, that's what I kind of want to focus on, having really cheap like professional completes. Not that my boards or my wheels are very professional, but you can get super affordable complete through me, all handmade, except some the trucks. There's some Lefays, which are, in my opinion, some of the best overseas, like China trucks.
I haven't had the opportunity to skate any of those, but I've heard like pretty mixed reviews. A lot of people like them, and then some people they're just like, no, they're not for me. And so,
Yeah, some people just hate on using China stuff, but it
yeah,
is what
there's
it
that
is.
aspect as well, and I get that. So, but no, that's cool that you're getting into the affordable complete market for sure. That's definitely a market that I feel like gets overlooked. Because there's a lot of just new people getting into the industry, and not everybody's willing to just go all in from the get-go.
No, like DK, they're in Ukraine, right? They do that, but I don't know out here who's got some cheap all handmade completes going.
I don't know. When you get into the, I wouldn't say like, low, like I would say like entry level, it's I don't know exactly how a lot of those companies are running their business. And so I don't know if they're hand making their decks or if they're outsourcing them or how that works. And so like there's definitely a few people out there that are in that space. I just don't know if like how they're operating within that space, I guess you would say. So I can't really like name drop some people, so I don't quite know, but there are definitely some people out there in that space for sure.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
So I'm like, I don't know if I want to get on the mic and just start talking about some stuff I don't know. So
no, I have my suspicions.
I think a lot of people have their suspicions. I have to get some of these people on the mic and maybe dive deeper into like, you know, what they do and maybe draw it out. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Well, anything on your side that you wanna chit chat about?
So what's I loved on one of the a few podcasts ago you were talking about smaller events in the future using smaller events as like placeholders for your larger events.
Sounds like something I said a while ago.
Maybe.
Possibly. Oh,
just your plans for USA FBL. It's,
oh, gotcha.
That got me so hyped. That was cool to hear.
Yeah, we've already been kind of hosting events pretty much all over the country. I want to say we're at like 15 or 20 major like metropolitan area cities, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, we're definitely looking at basically transforming the league into a league and then turning the tour into regionals and nationals.
Yeah,
so that's dope. Yeah, we're excited. That's something that we're looking at probably, I want to say 2024, but realistically it's going to be 2025. The tour will still be the tour for 2024, but 2025 it'll turn into regionals and nationals for sure.
Yeah.
And so we're just kind of putting placeholders basically in all these little markets and just helping develop and helping just grow those areas just in general. And so like we've been doing a lot of like City Strong posts. I don't know if you've seen any of those on our Instagram. Like every time we leave a city, like we'll do a City Strong. And so like we'll do like a Philly Strong where like people who registered with us at registration and they left all their handles and they live pretty close to that area, like we'll tag everybody in those posts trying to gather, just create activity within the city. And so maybe one person's like, you know what, like I've got two or three parks, like, you know, 5 or 10 of you guys want to come hang out at the park or Starbucks or I don't know, wherever, you know, you can pretty much fingerboard without getting kicked out of or whatnot. But yeah, just hanging out and just, you know, just enjoying everybody's company and just having a good time.
Yeah, no, I that's awesome that you're you know, putting that out there for everyone to start making more connections, hosting their own smaller events and growing that scene, even if it's just at a park. Like I know we're on like more of the east side of the state. Anxiety Offline's been hosting, putting together like get togethers at the local park out there. And I haven't made it out there yet, but looks like they got like a good turnout and it looks like they're just bringing all their own parks and obstacles and just having like an awesome time shredding.
Yeah, I am going to try to make it out to their next one as well. I'm trying to make it up to yours. Yours is a little bit far for me, but I'm going to try to make it up there for you.
Cool.
Because I'm excited, especially in the Midwest. There's no reason for me to move into the Midwest is that we're so connected to like all of these border states for us. And so like, you know, there's stuff going on in Ohio. Ohio's like 2 hours from me. There's stuff going on in Kentucky, which is like an hour and a half from me. Michigan, it's about 4 hours, I think, to the border. Illinois is only like a 2 hour drive to the border. And so like, there's just so much stuff like just going on around us. And so I've got to literally start utilizing proximity, I guess, to my advantage.
Yeah, no, it is like that over here in the Midwest. I'm not originally from Michigan or the Midwest. I've been out here like a few years, but yeah, it's cool. The states are just all close, and especially like events, like there could be one in all different states and they're definitely drivable.
Yeah. I look at it as like a weekend getaway, basically. It's just like, you know, I'm gonna go fingerboard this weekend. So
yeah.
Tell the wife to watch the dogs. I'll see you Monday.
For sure.
Oh man. Anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Oh, probably so many people I want to give shout outs to. I'm going to forget everyone, but definitely my team. I don't even want to try to name everyone individually, but I got my team all up on my Instagram, so check them out, give them a follow. They're awesome. They helped me out so much and give so much support to Pipsqueak and what I'm trying to do. So I love having them on, and they're all shredders. They're all pretty good. Yeah, I'm gonna forget so many people. Mongo, shout out to Mongo. He rides for No Comply. Now I'm gonna forget everyone,
I
but
know,
shout out
shout
to
out
just
to
everyone. Mason with Fathers. Mason's been there from jump two. Him and Ant were definitely super important in the growth of Pipsqueak, because I just started tinkering around and talking to them and sending them my my prototypes, and they were like, dude, you got something here, because the urethane bunch is pretty unique from everything else.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of urethane, to be honest. I think when I first started getting into fingerboarding more on a professional level, like urethane is definitely the go-to. I feel like the more my skill sets go, though, the like less grippier the wheels are. And I'm starting to notice that even on like more of a pro circuit level, especially when you look at like, you know, the Black River crew and stuff like that. I mean, like all of those guys, they're all using pretty much just like the hardest wheels possible. And so it's like the better you get, I feel like the less grippier your wheels are.
Sure. And I also think a big thing is there, a lot of people, like especially Black River, they've probably been in it for a long time, and so they're very used to that type of wheel and formula. And I just started really getting to professional, well, like pro quality fingerboards, only a couple of years ago. So I was just looking for what worked for me, or the feel that I thought I was going for.
Yeah, no, definitely. Don't get me wrong. Like you're like I still ride urethanes. Abstracts is my traditionally go-to, followed by probably Wasaki.
Yeah, both American made, and
Both American made. And
all both
so
super good people. Keelan, he was kind enough that I sent him some wheels. He gave me some feedback. And Jordan with Redemption, I got to meet him at our last event, and it was cool to talk to him. He's a good dude.
Jordan's one of the guys that one of the few people in the industry I've actually not had the opportunity to meet or like actually like just connect with. And so, and he's close, which is kind of crazy. So I feel like I definitely need to get on the wire with him and at least reach out and just be like, hey, what's up?
For sure, he's killing it. Redemption's killing it and everything.
Yeah, no doubt. I've been using his products for so long. And so, you know, nothing shy of like for you. It's just, you know, once you find something you like, you don't really, I don't like to stray. So
No, I feel that.
there's probably like four or five other wheel companies too I need to try out and stuff. And I'm just like, man, it's hard to get off of what I got. And so,
Yeah. Have you tried
but
those recycled wheels yet from anyone? Like, Sadude's the big one, but
yeah.
Dude Guy FB's got some dope wheels too.
I did try a set of your wheels. Somebody had them at an event this summer tour. They had, I can't remember what city. He's like, yeah, dude, these basically wheels are fire. And I was like, what? And I was like, dude, these are nice.
Thanks.
These are nice. And so yeah, like that's one of the cool things about events though. And if you ever do get out to a meetup or anything like that, like you get to see and try a lot of different people's setups if they allow you to, obviously. Like you got to get some sort of consent first, but or just be like, hey, let me try that. But yeah, like if you see a setup or something like that, just like, hey, let me feel those out. You know, ask them what wheels are there, what bushings, and people are like, yeah, they'll tell you like their experiences and what they like, what they don't like, and what they came across, what they don't come across. I mean, it's gonna be all opinion based, and everybody's opinions and preferences are gonna be different, but it's still pretty cool to just reach out and just basically just be like, you know, what are you riding today?
Yeah, it's cool. And like in the group chats that I'm in, it's fun just to be like, yo, what are you guys riding today? And just and it's just there's so many different companies out there that are, and companies that are killing it too, and to each their own. Everyone likes something different, different size boards, different shapes, concave, same, and then wheels, different sizes, different durometers, trucks, truck preference. It's just
Definitely. It's the variations are insane when you kind of think of it as a whole. Just even from like if you put like five different companies together and then like just mixed all the variations, like there's no, in theory, it's kind of like, you know, like no two snowflakes are the same, but like theoretically, mm-hmm. like there really might not be two fingerboarding decks that are actually the same.
Yeah. What's your like main setups, like main one or two?
I ride pretty much double joints exclusively. I've been making mm-hmm. my own decks and stuff now, so I've been kind of getting weaned off of that, which is, I call my fingerboard like an avatar. Like I sync up with like my avatar. So like mm-hmm. I'm in the deck making process myself. And so I'm testing out like all of these decks that I'm mm-hmm. making. I've got like six or seven different like molds and I'm kind of like working with and different veneers, the whole process. Anyways, I don't want to bore you guys with all the details, but like each one of these things feels different than the last. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it is throwing off all of my fingerboarding basically.
Yeah.
Just from the weights, the shapes, the sizes, like everything.
I can 100% relate to that. Double joint is top for me as well. Those are my main. And I've been experimenting with making decks too. And I really love the molds that Basic and I came up with together. It's fantastic. But, and I'm experimenting with different veneers and yeah, they'll pop different. The amount of glue I use totally affects their weight and their pop. And I'm just totally in the R&D phase.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just fun to make for me. I was just working on a bunch of boards this morning and I want to keep them all, just test them all out, see how they feel.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that 100%. R&D, I feel like I've been in the R&D stages for deck making now for like the better part of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like every time I see, my problem is like when I've traveled the country, I've met fingerboarders all over the place. I've came across deck makers and just like, especially established ones, like the quality of the, like just the craftsmanship alone of a lot of these deck makers are,
yeah,
they're top tier. And it's like, the problem is like, you know, if you've seen the best, it's hard not to like strive to be grouped in that category. And so it's like, if you know that, like to even be like considered a top tier, you've got to be like this high. You can't come in underneath that bar. And so I feel like I've just been in the R&D stages for so long, just working on getting my craftsmanship up to the point where like it's considered top tier.
Yeah. Yeah. That's striving for greatness. But yeah, I look at my boards and they're so dope. And I look at them compared to like Double Joint and Milk. And I'm like,
they're trash. I'm just like, these are trash.
Yeah. So, I'm playing with crayons and they're like artists, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel. And so like, I mean, the decks are good. Don't get me wrong. I still mess around and stuff with them. I've actually started donating a lot of my decks and blends and stuff to a couple after school functions and stuff like that. And so I've been putting together some piles and getting ready to ship those out later this month. And so
yeah,
that way then it was kind of go to waste, because I'm like, I'm sitting on like 30 of these things and I'm just like, some of them are good, some of them are blends, some of them are just kind of eh, and some of them are actually like decent, but for me being like a perfectionist, like, you know, they're still trash,
right? But I'm planning to do the same thing with a lot of the blends, like give them out to like my friends and my team. But the event that we're sponsoring, that we're both in that group chat for on Instagram, I was just thinking about that today when I was making some boards, the ones that have the clear blemishes. Like I can send these over because like it's an event for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just to get them started on something.
Yeah, definitely. Plus it's a way of getting people kind of introduced to it. So someone may be mm-hmm. like, hey, like I've been thinking about fingerboarding, but their friend got one of my blems or just one of my decks that are just kind of eh. And they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, like try this out. And so like they try it and like they're in it. And it's just like the thought of like, you know, someone who may have never even thought about or was going to buy a board, got given a board and now they're hooked. Like that excites me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
For sure. All right, Matt, where can people find you on social media or anywhere?
So right now I just got Instagram going. That's pipsqueak _FB_wheels. That's where you can find, that's probably the only place I'm active for pipsqueak. I haven't launched my site yet. I've been saying I'm going to launch it since like March, but I've just been trying to create like the perfect product before I like really go live, and just build a stock. But right now they're available on zegheads.com and squirrelnut.com.
Okay. So if you are in the market for a new batch of wheels, definitely hop over to squirrelnut and zegheads.com.
Yeah, absolutely. You can even just hit me up on my DM and Instagram, and I'll probably make a set or show you what I got available. It's like getting them out there to people.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I like it. All right, Matt. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. I appreciate you coming on to the show.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me, man. I was super stoked and clearly very, very nervous, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. I hope to get to meet you this weekend in person. We get to
Yeah, it'd
shred
be awesome.
together. Yeah. Bring you a set of wheels and maybe one of my Blam decks. They're
I
all
like
Blams right
that.
now.
No, I appreciate it. I might bring you one of mine too. So I
Oh,
might
nice.
actually just bring some and pass them out. So we'll see.
Those countersinks, I'm not good at that one.
That's the hardest thing I think I got to master. It took me at least, don't know, like the times I spread everything out, especially with the tour, but it took me a good, I don't know, it took me a while finding the right countersinks and the right, like, just bits and just to make those perfect and stuff. And so it took me a while. But that was definitely like the last key to the puzzle, I think, for me. And then the rest of it is just literally just producing a consistent product at that point.
Do you put graphics on yours?
I have not gotten, I know how to. I finally got to the point where like I know how to actually do it. Have I done it yet? That's like at least 2 months down the road before I can even start dabbling with it. My thing is like if I can perfect the actual deck itself, then I can move over to like the next stage. And so like I'm trying not to move too many stages like forward because then you just like, all right, I don't have a strong foundation. And so
That's smart. My ADHD doesn't allow that. I'm just like all in right away.
yeah, I know it's hard, but it's just I've done a lot of mistakes where like if you just set your foundation and stop like, you know, pushing the cart before the horse, like you'll be all right. And so I just kind of got to slow things down and it'll come with time.
Yeah. I just ride the cart down down like a steep hill, you know?
I mean,
Wheels
you just got to
just.
fast track it, man. You got to fast track it. Oh, that's amazing. All right, till next time.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Tommy. I'll see you later.
All right, take it easy.